Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Friday. Live in Los Angeles. We only win here. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be watching or listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now. 3-3 last week. We added an extra game. Only 5 picks in our blazing 5 this week. That seems appropriate. Joy Taylor is joining me. Again, I was telling the staff this morning, I said, every time one of these L.A. teams, since I've moved here, gets into a big game, NBA Finals, World Series, a play-in game, Tom Brady comes to play the Rams. We don't win all of our games here, but the big ones, whatever it is. And it's funny, Joy, because a lot of the big markets in the country, Chicago's teams are kind of a mess, New York's are an absolute mess, Philadelphia, Washington, a lot of big cities in America, it can't get their pro teams right. Whatever it is, there's a magic in the air in Los Angeles. If it's a big game, if it's a deciding series game, the L.A. team's winning, and there's no more popular team right now in Los Angeles than the Dodgers.
Is it us, or is it LeBron?
let's be honest about it. This city has spent a lot of money on a lot of great players, yeah. And the Dodgers needed every dollar last night. So let's start with that, the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. I know. Check, swing. There is no better team here. The Dodgers, really, they paid more than the Giants for hitting, and they got a little better hitting. These teams played 24 times this year. They split 12-12. I mean, literally, the Giants won 107 games this year. The Dodgers won 106. It would have been the Dodgers won 107 and the Giants won 106, but there was a check swing that went the Giants' way during the regular season. I mean, the batting average. Dodgers hit 244. Giants hit 247. Home runs. Dodgers hit 242. Giants hit 246. There is no best team. We said this yesterday. It's going to come down to a run. Everybody wants reseeding. Let's have them play. They shouldn't have played that series. It doesn't matter. If these teams played 9 games, they'd go to a game 9. They play 7, they'd go to a game 7. They played 5, they went to a game 5. Fans need the definitive, we are better. Dodgers aren't necessarily better. What the Dodgers did, even the controversy in this series is even. Earlier this year, the Giants got an umpiring break on a check swing. That one in the division. And then last night, the Dodgers get an umpiring break. Even the controversies were even in this series. But you get what you pay for in baseball. It's the one sport with no salary cap, and the Dodgers have been more willing to open the wallets. There's plenty of money in San Francisco. It's Silicon Valley. Those fans are paying a lot for beers and programs too. But in the end, everybody's complaining about that check swing. Well, the numbers told you Wilmer Flores wasn't going to drive in anybody anyway because the Giants couldn't drive in anybody entire series. They won one of their games, 1-0. In 3 of their losses, they scored 5 runs. They stopped hitting after game 1. The Dodgers paid a lot for Mookie Betts. It was worth it. He went 4-for-4. The Dodgers pay a lot for Cody Bellinger. He hit .294 in the playoffs with 3 RBIs. Dodgers paid a lot for Max Scherzer. Well, guess what? He was on the mound at the end. Who do the Giants pay for? Buster Posey. He was great in the series. Chris Bryant, they didn't pay a lot for because it was a trade, but he was unbelievable. And he's a free agent. So San Francisco, my recommendation, because the Dodgers would re-sign a Chris Bryant. You got to re-sign a Chris Bryant. I mean, this is all about in baseball, you kind of get what you pay for. Now, you have the Rays and you have Moneyball with the A's. Those teams aren't winning the World Series. You can be good and you can be competitive, but the Dodgers, they did this against the Cardinals. We just talked about this 2 weeks ago, and they did it against the Giants. They went all in on Trey Turner, all in on Max Scherzer, all in on Mookie Betts. They needed every single dollar and player, and they do have the best team in baseball, and my guess is, wherever they play and whoever they, this is going to come down to their bullpen and out. They've had so many injuries, so many up-and-down performers like Bellinger this year. So here is the check swing controversy. And to the Giants' credit, they added context to it. They admit they got a break earlier in this year against the Dodgers on a check swing, and here's the ending.
0-2. Scherzer
to Flores. Just outside. He went around. Strike three. Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. The Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series. These two teams won 109 games coming into this one. One game separated them in the standings. One game separates them in the National League Division Series, and one run separates them. My goodness, it was unbelievable.
Gabe Kapler is the manager. Didn't go crazy. Acknowledged when it was all over. These teams are fantastic. Probably the two best teams in baseball. And as everybody predicted, it'd go five. I said yesterday, I thought the Giants would win 3-2. Here's Gabe after.
The immediate emotion is frustration, right? And that's happening all throughout the game. And it's heightened on the last play of the game. I'm way, way past the frustration that I felt in that moment. And I really do think our players and our staff are too. I just don't know how much sense it makes for us on our side, you know, to pick that apart. I don't know how helpful it's going to be.
Two best teams in baseball went to the final moment. It was going to be a messed up bunt, a wild pitch, a check swing. It's almost appropriate that's how the series ended. An inch on a check swing. That's almost perfectly appropriate because that's all that separated two amazing, well-managed, well-run franchises and two great baseball teams. All right, let's talk the game last night. I'm not going to talk Brady right now. I want to talk about Jalen Hurts. So it's very interesting. We're all kind of waiting to see as all these young quarterbacks come into the league. He going to make it? He going to make it? He going to make it? Now, you can generally tell with a big pocket guy, oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, yeah, that's what it's supposed to look like. It gets difficult with playmakers, and that's what Jalen Hurts is. And I said this yesterday and perhaps the previous 2 days. It's harder for me to guess on playmakers because will the coaching staff and the organization have the patience to let a Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson grow as they run around, use their feet for a couple years as they grow as pocket players. And I feel the same way about Jalen Hurts. It's almost like Lamar Jackson is a great example. Like I had issues and I don't get it, doesn't look it. And all of a sudden you're like, after about 7, 8, 9 games, you're like, yeah, it's going to work. The Eagles have the opposite problem with their young quarterback that most teams do. I mean, they only had 16 first downs. They only passed for 113 yards. They had no time of possession. They don't run the football, don't pass it particularly well. But they were 3-for-3 in the red zone against a really talented defense. Why? Because that's what playmakers do. So when you watch Jalen Hurts, it's not pretty. Struggles on the deep ball. Misses layups. I'm not denying any of that. But so did Kyler Murray in the first year. And so did Lamar Jackson looked a little different. Is that, yes, this year they could not keep up with the Cowboys' offense or Kansas City's offense? Well, of course not. Right now, they can't. Either could Arizona in the first year with Kyler Murray. The reality, though, is if you look at the numbers on Jalen Hurts, just go to the data. It's very interesting. His passer rating, 88.6. That's not terrible. He's a kid. His completion percentage, 62.5. Well, that's good enough for the number of starts he's had. 8 touchdowns, 4 picks. All right, that's 2-to-1. You'd like 2.5-to-1. Not terrible. And he's rushed for 5 touchdowns. Got to count those too. So I'm a couple weeks ago, I'm like, it just doesn't look right to me. And then I'm starting to get to a point where the college game's now into the pro game. It really comes down to the Philadelphia Eagles organization because the Ravens went all in on Lamar and Arizona went all in on Kyler. And we know Cincinnati is, they drafted another wide receiver. They are all in on Joe Burrow. So I watched Jalen Hurts and I'm like, yeah, it's not much to look at, but why are they so good in the red zone? Because of Jalen Hurts. He's hard to defend. And the rest of the numbers aren't terrible. So I think there's just sometimes when you have this kind of cultural change that's happening in football is I am just going to sit and watch it. And even over the last 3 weeks, I'm like, I don't know. I could argue either way. It may just come down to this. Does he get the right coach? Does he get the support? Is the owner all in? Is the GM draft players to help him? I mean, it really may come down to that. They went and got a receiver that year, this year. Now, today, they traded Zach Ertz away for a corner. Now, the good news is Philadelphia is pretty stocked at tight end, and Arizona is clearly going for it. They're going to go for it and get Zach Ertz. They're not great at tight end. That's not necessarily a negative sign for Jalen Hurts because Philly's got tight ends. That's not the issue. They've upgraded wide receiver. Their bigger issue is the offensive line healthy. It's been hit and miss last 3 years. But I really don't know watching Jalen Hurts. I watched them, and I'm like, everybody was bailing on Lamar Jackson. The only people now that think Lamar Jackson can't play are dummies. Like, I don't want to be a dummy. I'm just going to watch it. I don't have an answer. It could work. It could not. It may depend largely on the support Jalen Hurts gets.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It is so easy now for Tom Brady with all these weapons. At least sometimes in New England, you could see him struggle, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. You could see Brady getting frustrated. There was drama. He's so good this year, it's boring. It's pitch and catch. And Tampa is the opposite of last year. The offense is way ahead of the defense. The offense has more talent. It's why the Buccaneers now are elite. It's because of their offense. They are so deep now that they literally showcased their tight end O.J. Howard last night, many suggesting they want to trade him at the deadline and wanted people to see that he still got it. This pivot for Tampa from a losing franchise, a team with no momentum, a head coach that comes out of retirement, to winning a Super Bowl, 5-1, every general manager in the league has to look at this and think, let's just make an offer for Aaron Rodgers. That's what I keep thinking here. That Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, Tom Brady is making old guys moving to new teams, and Russell doesn't really classify, even Aaron doesn't, as an old guy. But I keep thinking about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. These GMs around this league, two teams, Chargers, Bucks, made an offer for Tom Brady. It is now remarkable. It is so easy for him, and I never see Brady as a cocky guy, but it is so easy for him that yesterday he told Hannah Storm, I'm not joking, I could literally play, he said, until I'm 50 or 55 if I wanted to. I don't think I will. My physical body won't be the problem. It's just missing too much time with my family. He's like literally they're showcasing a tight end last night on the road against a team that's not terrible, Philadelphia. He may play till 55. This is sometimes people do stuff in your business. You don't even have to work with them. But they do stuff in your business and they make you money without you knowing it. Like Brady is making so many veteran quarterbacks money right now. It's now embarrassing that only the Chargers and the Bucks went all in. You're like, what? There's like 9 teams in this league that can't get the quarterback right. It's just hard to wrap your brains around. Loserville, USA, Tampa, Florida, couldn't win games. You just insert one great piece. They already had good players, and they are now winning easily on the road, showcasing tight ends. Tom May played a 50. It's hard to wrap your brain around it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Staley, the Chargers go to Baltimore and they play the Ravens. Ravens did play on Monday Night Football, short week, but this year teams off of Monday Night Football are 4-0. So you know, if you've won on Monday Night Football, you win the next week. It's whatever it is. Maybe it's less hitting in practice. I don't know. But it's not an issue this year with having one day less prep. So Brandon Staley is talking about Lamar Jackson. And, you know, we've said this before. Sometimes in life you don't know until you know, right? And Lamar Jackson, is it going to work? oh, yeah, I guess it's totally different and can work. You don't know what you know. And Brandon Staley, who faces Lamar this week, talked about him.
You guys are all seeing what I'm seeing, is that you're seeing a player that's never played in the NFL. There have been some guys similar, but there hasn't been anybody like Lamar Jackson. He's truly one of a kind. He's truly a rare player, rare competitor. And all you got to do is go back all the way back to high school, Louisville, you name it. Everywhere he goes, you know, he's doing something, you know, amazing right before your eyes. And since he's become the quarterback of that team, you know, you've seen what's happened. And I think the thing that's unique about Lamar is that there's danger on every snap.
Yeah, you know, it's like people that doubt Lamar now are just stubborn. And you'll find in life, I look at sometimes people that doubt Lamar, and if you go to their Twitter feed, they're stubborn on politics, they're stubborn on everything. They're stubborn on sports. Stubborn people are not stubborn on one isolated story. They're stubborn on everything. You're a dummy now. He's got 42 starts. It's legitimate. Like it used to be, you had to give a guy 3 years, 16 games, 3 years, 48 starts. But now these kids, you don't get 48 starts. You need about 30. You need about a year and a half to 2 years because they all come in with far more high school and college snaps and quarterback coaches. We got 42 starts. Folks, he's got 103 passer rating. He completes 65% of his throws and has 3 touchdowns to a pick. We got enough. He's 34-8 as a starter. The question now, and by the way, can he play from behind? It was a legitimate question. It's the kind of question a general manager asks. Oh, that's been solved too. But it was a legitimate question. Running quarterbacks often play downhill with a lead. We said this about Giannis. Remember we talked about Giannis, bad free throw shooter. He plays downhill. Can Giannis come from behind and win? Can he hit free throws late? He didn't. They won the championship. You don't know till you know. But the idea that, well, can Lamar get to a Super Bowl? Don't be a dummy. Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo got there. That's just a dumb argument now. Now, will he? That's a different argument. Can he is one argument. Will he is a different argument. Dan Marino got to one. As a rookie, never got back. Aaron Rodgers, been to two. With a well-run franchise. Peyton Manning, took him 9 years. So don't confuse. And this is so obvious, so I feel stupid saying this because it's so obvious. But there's a lot of people that can't separate these two. Will he and can he? You may have the brains that you could be a doctor, but you may choose not to be a doctor. You know, can he get to a Super Bowl? Of course he can get to a Super Bowl. Of course. But he just so happens now to have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, the wall being built up. You know, Brady figured this out, I think, early and said, get me out of the AFC. I don't want any part of this. You know, I don't know if he will get there, but don't be a dummy. Like, the argument, it's over. I mean, first of all, the kid has had 2 full years of playing. Been an MVP in one and won a playoff game in the next. He can't even rent a car. He's 24. So the 2 full years I've had with him, best player in the league and won a playoff game. You tell me he can't win 2 or 3 playoff games. Really? This is impossible. Stop. Will he, can he? We know the answer to one. Yes, of course he can. And that's why we said this week, he's lightning. It's unpredictable. There's nothing like it. There's just nothing like Lamar in the market. It's fascinating.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Fire. Chargers and Ravens.
I'm going to take the Ravens -2.5, one of my stronger plays of the week. Teams to play on Monday night, 4-0, following games, it doesn't matter. Here's the key in this one. Lamar Jackson is explosive, but his passing this season has been top 5 in key categories. Yards, completions, big pass plays. He leads the NFL with 1,800 total yards, more than 17 different teams this year. But the key will come down to running. The Chargers' defense is not great, and they're atrocious against the run. They know that. They'll address it in the draft. And the Ravens are one of the more explosive run teams in the league, if not the most, at home, ready to roll. I think they dominate time of possession, and the Ravens win. Take them minus the points, 32-27.
Bengals at Lions.
Like it. I love it. I love Detroit plus 3.5. Here's why. First of all, these are the hard luck kids. They're playing their butts off. They're losing close. I mean, they even outplayed Green Bay on the road for a half. First team Lions in NFL history to lose multiple games in a year on field goals of over 50 as the clock expires. Their defense is now increasingly getting people off the field on third down. But Cincinnati's the story here. They're 3-2. They're playing with fire. Four of their games decided by 3 points or fewer. That's the most in the league. They could easily be 1-4. They are not good enough to give up 3.5 points on the road against everybody, anybody. And I like Joe Burrow, but in 8 road starts, he's got 1 win. He's 1-6-1. Cincinnati's fun. A tough, emotional overtime loss. They go on the road. They are simply not good enough right now to give up 3.5 to a Detroit team inches from a win. I'm going to take the Lions to win straight out 26-23.
Cardinals at Browns.
Nick Chubb's out. I still don't think it affects the line because Kareem Hunt is the best backup running back in the league. I'll take Cleveland minus 3.5. First of all, Cleveland's one of 3 teams in the league that's outgamed every team they've played. They just don't close well. Their rushing offense is number 1 in everything. Yes, Nick Chubb is out. Kareem Hunt is sensational. I don't worry about that. Their defense is getting better. This, again, comes down to the matchup. Arizona struggles against the run. They give up 5.4 yards a carry. What does Cleveland do better than everybody? Run the football. What does that mean? Kyler Murray is going to be watching Baker Mayfield on the field. Big time of possession edge to Cleveland. Takes away opportunities for big plays. I think the Browns win it 33-26. Dominate time of possession.
Cowboys at Patriots.
I like New England. I do. At home, plus 3.5. You may wait on this. There'll be more Cowboy money coming in. It may move to 4. That's an even better number. But here's why I like New England. Dallas doesn't have much of a pass rush. We now have enough on Mac Jones to know he is really efficient without facing a pass rush. The Cowboys' defense, people are throwing the ball almost 70% of the time. Why? Because they can. Because their quarterback has time. They have the second worst pass defense in the league this year. And Mac Jones, let's be honest, as a rookie, his efficiency, and that's kind of what he is, his efficiency is strong. I don't know if New England can beat Dallas. Dallas is the better team. But the number here at 3.5, the hook, I'll take New England to cover, Dallas to win. And you may wait till Sunday. The number may go to 4.
Seahawks at Steelers.
This feels obvious to me. I'm going to take Pittsburgh minus 5.5. The number was better earlier in the week. But so Seattle, as a backup quarterback, they have to travel cross-country and try to score against an excellent defense. Geno Smith has not started since 2017. The Steelers' defense, 36 consecutive games without allowing 30 or more points. So I get a backup, and he's not a great backup. He's not a top 5, 6, 7 backup. He's a backup. He goes on the road. He faces a great defense, and I only have to give up 5.5. And Seattle's defense is a mess. And last week, the Steelers found a running game. Big Ben got protection. The secondary for Seattle is a nightmare, and we know this. The Steelers, 3rd in the NFL in passing attempts. They throw the football. They've got star receivers. The Seahawks do not match up on the outside with Pittsburgh. And as they have an emerging running game now, I don't know. I think Seattle, you can't ask a backup quarterback to go on the road against a great defense, a defense in Seattle, I can't stop anybody. This feels obvious to me. I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win and cover 28-20. All odds provided by Fox Bet and their sports book. So I like some favorites this week. And with that, the news this morning, there you see it. I like the Lions as dogs. I like the Patriots as dogs. But I'll take the favored Ravens, the favored Browns, despite Nick Chubb's injury, and the favored Pittsburgh Steelers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Seth Joyner's played for the Philadelphia Eagles, now lives in Arizona. He knows those teams really, really well. And it's interesting. You know, he's the only player in the NFL. I just found this out. in NFL history with over 50 sacks and over 20 interceptions. They didn't even keep that stat until like the early 80s. And he's the only guy, 13 years in the NFL, a lot of interceptions also in the playoffs. He had 6 playoff appearances in 13 years, I should say. So before he gets out in the golf course, we got to get Seth before he gets out in the golf course. So I said this earlier with Jalen Hurts. Philadelphia is an impatient city. I get it. But I watched Kyler Murray's first year and I watched Lamar and I was a doubter. But if you can run around for a year and a half, as you grow as a pocket passer, I have to, as somebody that watches and observes, I have to be more patient because it took Lamar about a year and a half. It took Kyler about a year and a half. And I watched Jalen Hurts, and I got to tell you, part of me is like, it doesn't work, but he's completing about 63%. Passer rating's almost 90. He's good in the red zone. I think he's just figuring out how to do the pocket thing, and he's running around while he learns it, and I'm not ready to bail on him quite yet. As a former Eagle, where do you land on Jalen Hurts?
Well, Colin, I just think that, when you talk about Kyler and you talk about Lamar, these two guys were drafted in the first round, so the expectations were different. You got to remember, Jalen Hurts was the guy that was drafted 51st overall, and everybody was wondering, what the heck are you guys doing? You just signed Wentz to a long-term deal, and you go out in that same year, and you turn around and you draft Jalen Hurts. Well, he's not going to get the time that some of these other quarterbacks have gotten because – that's just Philadelphia, and that's just the way, you know, it all works. Listen, I like the kid, but I think he's at a disadvantage because his head coach is on a bench to just pass the ball. And such a – I mean, every time you turn around, they're throwing the football.
Right.
Last night, they ran the ball one time in the entire first half of the football game.
Yeah.
That's unconscionable. How do you ask a young guy who's essentially – listen, he's not essentially a rookie, but in terms of playing experience
–
he's still a rookie.
Yeah.
And you're going to ask this kid to line up and shotgun 95% of the time and just throw without, you know, not giving him the benefit of being able to use a guy like Miles Sanders to his benefit.
Yeah. No, it's very fair. But there are times they were 3-3 in the red zone. He's a playmaker, and I'm going to hold off on saying it can't work. I just want to see another 10 starts. Now, you live in Arizona, at least part of the year, and they went and got Zach Ertz this morning, and it tells me, they're like, hey, man, we're maybe a little better than we thought. We're going all in. Do you buy Arizona so far? Do you like what you see? Are they good enough defensively? They don't have much of a run defense. What do you see, Seth?
They're balanced enough on both sides of the ball to be a team that can get in the playoffs and make some noise. My only concern will be, you know, when you get Kyler Murray in the playoffs and you're playing against the best defensive coordinators that are in the NFL, you're talking about the last four. Once you get past the wild card week, you get into the divisional round. Now you're going to face some of these defensive coordinators that are not going to allow him to run around the way he's running around. Now, can he stand in the pocket? You know, can he evolve his game the way that we're watching Lamar Jackson evolve his game? As of late, if he can play from the pocket now with all the weapons that he has and the running game that they have, you know, they can make some noise and they can do some things. But I just think that you look at them defensively, they play with a great sense of urgency. And, you know, anytime you got a guy that can make plays with his legs when all things fall apart, like Kyler Murray, then you're in a better situation. He's not a pocket guy where you know where he's going to be. He can get out of the pocket and make throws on the run. He can make plays with his legs. There's so much that he can do, and that's an advantage in today's NFL unless you got a guy like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
So there are things during a season, Seth, as you know, that you can correct. And then there are some things like we just don't have the dudes. When you look at Kansas City, they'll get Chris Jones back. But do you look at their talent, Seth, and say, this isn't going to be a good defense? Or do you think, okay, they get Chris Jones back, they get a better pass rush? Because right now, I mean, the holes in Kansas City's defense against Buffalo, Seth, it was like high school. I mean, it was like guys wide open. Can you correct that defense?
Well, you can try to correct it. The problem is, you know, I almost get the sense that in these teams, they have these Super Bowl windows.
Right.
You know? I think their offensive line ran its course last year, and they're still trying to figure that out this year with all the moves that they've made. On the defensive side of the ball, you've got Chris Jones and Honey Badger, and that's about it. You know, name me another guy on that defense, you know, that's a name that you know, that when they play, you're looking at that defense and you're expecting for him to do something. You know, they've whiffed on, you know, pass rushes in the past. You know, they don't look really good, you know, at the linebacker position, you know, and the other safety, you know, has turned out to be a liability. So I think, you know, the window on talent for Kansas City from a defensive perspective may have slammed shut. And now you're going to have to rely solely on Patrick Mahomes and the magic of his arm, excuse me, and the guys that, you know, that are on that offense to do it all. And I don't think that they can do it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I said there's it's okay doubting a player, but then when you get data, you have to be able to pivot and say, hey, I was wrong. And with Lamar, I said right. He could be great, but I was a doubter. He was thin. He ran a lot. I mean, I remember after the first year, I'm like, God, he looks thin. The next year he came with traps. He put on like 25 pounds. It's like, okay, this is a pro athlete. This kid's totally serious. And the one thing I always loved about him, he cares so deeply. He wants to win so much. And there's guys in this league, Seth, you know it. You did. You cared. A lot of guys in this room, they get the check, they don't care. This kid just lives for football. But you played with Randall Cunningham. So you probably had an advantage on all of us. You've seen the mobile quarterback, but are you even surprised by how much better Lamar's gotten, how much better he is in the pocket?
No, because I think if you go back and you look at him at Louisville, you know, you don't win the Heisman Trophy not being able to throw the ball. You know, the thing that bothered me about, you know, him coming out was his mechanics was just flawed.
Yeah.
You know, but you could just see on a collegiate level, you could get away with flawed mechanics. You couldn't do it at the NFL level. And then all of a sudden they bring him in and they create this offense for him. And it's based upon him running around. Well, I said, listen, if he doesn't fix his throwing mechanics, and if they don't adjust and put him in a pro style offense and give him some weapons, they have no shot at winning. And in 5 years, they're going to say, well, we got to go find ourselves another quarterback because this guy can't play. No, 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 no. You get these guys that come in, you know, they made a mistake with RG3. So then you come in, you get a guy like Lamar Jackson. You got a guy like Jalen Hurts. You know, you got these guys that have the ability to run around. Teach them how to play football first from the pocket, how to be a quarterback, you know, in a pro-style offense. And then the message to them is that, you know, when everything falls apart, when the defense gets the best of us, when they've disguised and we didn't figure it out pre-snap, now use your ability to scramble. You know, if it's man coverage, take off because you know you're going to get plenty of yards because everybody's back is to you except for the single high safety, and he's 30 yards from you. So you're going to get 15, 20 yards before the defense can even react. When it's zone coverage, okay, we want to scramble, but scramble horizontal to the line of scrimmage because we're trying to buy time for our wide receivers to adjust and move around in that manner. But let's learn to operate from the pocket first. Let's be a pocket quarterback first, throw it on time, throw it on rhythm, do all the things that, you know, great quarterbacks do from the pocket. And then when everything goes to hell in the handbasket, now use your athleticism. And I think that now Lamar Jackson is at that point. If their defense can get it together, I think they got a legitimate shot, you know, to contend for a Super Bowl the way he's playing. But it seems like now that he's ready, the defense is going in the other direction. Right.
By the way, finally, I know you're a former Eagle, and this is difficult, but Dallas looks good. What do you make? Can you acknowledge they're at least capable of winning the Super Bowl? Is that fair?
Listen, I am a football analyst. You know, I don't like Dallas, but I'm not that petty that I can't admit the fact that they got a pretty darn good football team. You know, I'm shocked and surprised that Dan Quinn has been able to not only make the transformation on the defensive side, but to also transform himself as a defensive coordinator in the way that he looks at defenses, because it was just a cover three shell, not a whole lot of blitzing, you know, just real vanilla. But when you look at them, they're a multiple defense and they do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And they're getting a lot done with these young players that they have. Over on the offensive side of the ball, this is the difference for Dallas. If you go back to week one, they lost to Tampa Bay the first game of the season. Dak threw the ball 58 times.
Yep.
for 400 and something yards and a whole bunch of touchdowns. They lost the game. They came back the second week and they made the decision for the offense to run through these two running backs. They've run off four wins in a row. And I'm not just talking about wins. I'm talking about beatdowns in a row. Their formula, they figured it out and they've gone to it. Okay, we're going to run the football. We're going to go play action. And yeah, you know what? Dak's not going to throw for 300, 500, 400 yards. He's going to throw for right around 250, 260, 270 and a couple of touchdowns. But we're going to control the line of scrimmage in all phases of the game. And we're going to play complementary football for this defense that's finding its way. Now, if they can stay healthy and they can continue to do what they're doing, yeah, it pains the hell out of me, Colin. But you know what? They look good. And you know, they can make a run at a Super Bowl the way that they're constructed. But you know what? Again, it's Dallas. And Jerry will find a way. They will find a way to mess it up. They always do. Yeah. They always do.
Seth Joyner, go get the clubs. Hit some balls today in beautiful Arizona, my man. Good seeing you.
Good talking to you, my friend. Take care.
It's almost hard to find anything in sports in the last several years where being passive won. It never wins. Like, just three words for all pro teams. Go for it. Just go for it and worry about the repercussions later. So and that gets me into another segment on Odell Beckham. So there's an argument to be made. Albert Breer made this. The reason the Browns, because clearly there's data, it doesn't work in Cleveland. It was always a weird fit. He was a Paris guy, a New York guy, an L.A. guy. Cleveland's a weird fit. Plus, Baker was a young kid. You're putting a superstar receiver to a young kid. Baker tries to overcompensate. He fits way better than with Jarvis Landry. I mean, literally, Odell Beckham's had one big game against Dallas, that terrible defense. I mean, he's just not productive. But they're kind of thin at wide receiver. They're waiting for Jarvis Landry to play again. So it's interesting. So Cleveland can be passive and just not trade him at the deadline, and just next year he's a huge cap hit. But it's a huge risk because Odell gets hurt a lot. And when you think he's going to go 15 games and not get hurt, that's a big risk. When we talked to Jimmy Garoppolo, he couldn't get through September. So do you go passive, not move him, take a chance? Well, the history is with all this stuff is move him. Go aggressive and move him. Now, you can say to yourself, well, we won't be very good at wide receiver. Well, you got Peoples and you got Jarvis Landry coming back. You have good tight ends. You have two great running backs and you have a good old line. That's not saying at the trade deadline you couldn't go get a three receiver. You can go, there's a lot of teams that are deep at wide receiver. You may have to give up a draft pick, but if you think you're in a Super Bowl window, give up a number three pick. Go to a team in week eight that's out of the playoff. I mean, Seattle loses four or five games here. You may go to Seattle and give us Freddie Swain. We'll give you a third round pick, whatever. Go get a number three wide receiver. So it's really interesting with Cleveland because aggressive wins, the aggressive move, trade Odell, gets, he's a huge cap hit next year. You're not keeping him. What they're hoping for, they're going passive. They're going a little conservative, which is, cross our fingers, he stays healthy, he comes back, we know it doesn't work, we know we can't keep him, he's way too expensive, but we're kind of thin that I don't know if I take that risk. I always think that I don't like drama. I've said this before, like the show Intervention, I couldn't even watch it. I don't like drama in my life. If something's a problem, just pay to get rid of it. I'm too busy, I don't deal with drama well. And the Odell Beckham thing, you're going to be sitting there for the next 13 weeks praying he doesn't get hurt. Because if he gets hurt, he has no trade value. He has none. He's got a little bit now. Because I thought about Green Bay. I would make a move to get Odell Beckham if I was the Packers. I got a veteran quarterback. I had a great locker room. We are so overwhelmingly dependent on Devontae Adams, who's had a couple of injuries. Just go for it. Give up a fourth-round pick. I mean, you don't have any desperate needs. You know, in the draft, you had a developmental draft next year. By the way, if Aaron leaves, you're not paying Jordan Love anything to be a quarterback, so you have cap space next year. You could, if he worked out well, you could re-sign him. But if I was Green Bay, I'd go for it. By the way, Brandon Ayuk has not been good in year two as he was as a rookie for the 49ers. That may be a go-for-it move. Now, there's not a lot of cap space right now. You got to move stuff around, but it's funny because aggressive is winning. We saw it with the Dodgers. We've seen it all through the NFL. Who, even if you have a brilliant coach, what has New England not been and what have Green Bay not been last 5 years? Like aggressive with stars. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers. Patriots have Belichick. Aggressive is winning. lesser coaches that are lesser organizations. Tampa was aggressive. How are they doing? New England wasn't. So I don't think Nelson Aguilar qualifies as aggressive. So OBJ, by the way, talked about getting, you know, more involved in the offense. Here's OBJ.
I can't sit here and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you, every time I get up here, they don't pay James Harden for defense. You know what I mean? He's a shooter. Like I feel like I'm a shooter. The ultimate goal is to win the championship. And I feel like I'm in a great situation to do that. And it may not be me. You know, there's going to be days where it will be my day. And we'll be sitting up here and the conversations will be different. And then, you know, it's like it's all as well.
We'll see. So I'd probably move him. And I don't know. Go get another receiver. Give him a draft pick. I thought he was, about a month ago, I said he's kind of necessary. Maybe he'll be the over-the-top thing. It just doesn't work. It's just, he's not productive. It doesn't work. I'm not blaming anybody. It just doesn't. Bad fit. Move on.